On Wednesday, 26th of January 2011, the Holy Father focused his attention on the figure of Joan of Arc, canonized by one of his predecessors to the See of Peter, Benedict XV, back in 1920. While we bring you Benedict XVI's words in English, focusing on this French saint who was born 600 years ago, in a few moments we'll also be sharing with you an English programme production of the story, focusing on this witness to the faith. A programme which is part of a series by the title Witness, written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Let's begin then by listening to the Pope's words in English.
Dear brothers and sisters, our catechesis today deals with St. Joan of Arc, one of the outstanding women of the later Middle Ages. Raised in a religious family, Joan enjoyed mystical experience from an early age. At a time of crisis in the Church and of war in her native France, she felt God's call to a life of prayer and virginity, and to personal engagement in the liberation of her compatriots. At the age of 17, Joan began her mission among the French military forces. She sought to negotiate a just Christian peace between the English and French, took an active part in the siege of Orléans, and witnessed the coronation of Charles VII at Reims. Captured by her enemies the next year, she was tried by an ecclesiastical court and burned at the stake as a heretic. She died invoking the name of Jesus. Her anxious condemnation was overturned 25 years later. At the heart of St. John's spirituality was an unfailing love for Christ, and in Christ for the Church and for her neighbor. May the prayers and example of St. John of Arc inspire many laymen and women to devote themselves to public life in the service of God's kingdom, and encourage all of us to live the fullest of our lofty calling in Christ.
And now we've listened to Pope Benedict XVI's words. Let's join Jill Bevilacqua as she presents Joan of Arc, beginning with a bit of drama.
A cross! A cross! The man wants a cross!
Jesus!
A saint! We have burnt a saint!
If there is one martyr in the Church's history whose story has captured the imagination of the men of all ages, it's surely Joan of Arc, described in one modern collection of great lives as one of the most famous and tragic women of all time. For however we define her, as French national leader, virgin of the 15th century, soldier saint, martyr, visionary, there is one inescapable fact about Joan's story, and that is that her death, in human eyes at least, was a tragic mistake.
There have been divergent opinions as to the fairness or not of the trial of Joan. To some, it was nothing more than a mockery of justice. To others, George Bernard Shaw among them, it was not only honest and legal, but exceptionally merciful, because it spared her the customary torture when she refused to take the oath.
Where everyone is in agreement is, in Shaw's words, that the burning of Joan of Arc was a horror, and that by her burning, a great wrong was done to Joan and to the conscience of the world.
At the end of the Hundred Years' War, France was almost entirely occupied by the English. The government was weak and offered little resistance. When Henry V invaded Normandy in 1415 and claimed the French crown, the country was already in the throes of civil war. And although both Henry and the French king died in 1422, the war went on. It was then that there appeared upon the ravaged scene an angel of deliverance.
Joan of Arc was born in 1412 in the poor, remote hamlet of Domrémy on the fringes of the Vosges forest. A popular legend had it that one day, from the oaks of this forest, there would arise one who would save France.
Joan was only 13 when she heard for the first time what she was to speak of on all future occasions as her voices. They came to her always in a blaze of light. The first to come was St. Michael the Archangel, who urged Joan to prayer and virtue, and then told her that she had been chosen by God to save France. On his next visit, he was accompanied by St. Margaret and St. Catherine, patronesses of the village church. After 3 years, the voices had become so insistent that Joan was at last convinced.
Joan, the time has come, Joan. This is your moment. You must delay no longer. France needs you. God has chosen you. You cannot refuse.
Go, daughter, go. God will help you.
Think no more of family, father, mother, home. You must put them behind you.
I am ready. I am God's servant. He's alone. If I had 100 fathers and 100 mothers, if I were the king's daughter, I would go. If only because God wants it so. And if necessary, I will walk for him until my feet can go no longer.
In January 1429, she left home. Dressed in male attire and with an escort of 3 soldiers given to her by the local governor, she made a perilous journey across France and 2 months later reached the court of Charles VII at Chinon. To test her, the Dauphin disguised himself as a courtier, but Joan picked him out and addressed him.
Most noble Lord Dauphin, I am Joan, the maid, sent on the part of God to aid you and the kingdom. You are the true heir of France, the king's son. God has sent me to lead you to Reims, and by his order, I announce that in that city, you will be crowned king.
Left alone with Charles, Joan spoke of state secrets which she could not possibly have known unless she had been told by her voices or by some other high authority. She asked for an ancient sword which she'd never seen, but which she described minutely before it was found. The Dauphin was won over.
But to make sure that Joan's mission was from heaven and not from elsewhere, she was examined by a committee of theologians, by the Parliament of Poitiers, and by the whole royal council. After 3 weeks, they declared her to be a virgin of good intent, inspired by God, and she was given command of the army. With a banner on which was written Jesus, Mary, and displaying a figure of God the Father, to whom 2 kneeling angels were presenting the royal emblem of France, Joan set off for Orleans. The troops were captivated by the maid and followed her to victory. Between May and July, Orleans was liberated, and on the 17th of July, Charles was crowned in Reims with all the pomp and ceremony of ancient days, Joan resplendent at his side, her banner proclaiming the will of God.
And here, Joan's story should have ended. She was aware that her mission was completed. Her voices were silent, and she asked to go home.
But Joan was valuable to the cause and was adjured to stay on. Yet though the soldiers believed in her and followed her devotedly, the church and the court gradually withdrew their support. It was clear that Joan served God rather than the church, and France rather than the Orleans party. In the last resort, she found herself completely alone.
There is no help, no counsel in any of you. I'm alone on earth. I've always been alone. My father told my brothers to drown me if I would not stay to mind his sheep while France was bleeding to death. France might perish if only our lambs were safe. I thought France would have friends at the court of the King of France, and I find only wolves fighting for pieces of her poor torn body. I thought God would have friends everywhere, because he is the friend of everyone. And in my innocence, I believed that you, who now cast me out, would be like strong towers to keep harm from me. But I'm wiser now. Do not think you can frighten me by telling me that I'm alone. France is alone, and God is alone. And what is my loneliness before the loneliness of my country and my God? I see now that the loneliness of God is his strength. What would he be if he listened to your jealous little counsels? Well, my loneliness shall be my strength too. It is better to be alone with God. His friendship will not fail me, nor his counsel, nor his love. In his strength I will dare, and dare, and dare, until I die. And so God be with me.
Joan continued to fight, though she was given little or no support. In an attack on Paris, she was severely wounded, and a retreat was ordered. When Joan recovered, she again asked permission to go home. It was refused. Instead, she was given the rank and revenue of an earl. After a winter's truce, Joan made a desperate attempt with only 600 men to relieve the town of Compiègne. She was captured by the Burgundians and sold to the English for 10,000 crowns. The martyrdom of Joan of Arc begins at this point. Taken to a cell in the castle of Rouen, she was chained to a plank bed with guards watching over her night and day. The English were convinced she was a witch and a sorceress and to be destroyed at all costs. But she was a prisoner of war and they could not easily frame a charge. It was decided to invoke the church.
On February the 21st, 1431, she was brought before a court of the Inquisition and pursued for heresy. The charge was that by refusing to disown her voices, she was defying the judgment and authority of the church. After months of exhausting cross-examination, Joan was condemned as an excommunicated heretic and delivered to the English to be burnt at the stake.
Like other good and honest people, Joan recanted under pressure, but her voices brought her to herself, and on May the 30th, 1431, at the age of only 19, the saviour of France was burnt alive at the stake in the marketplace of Rouen. The king she had helped to crown didn't lift a finger to save her.
A cross! A cross! The man wants a cross!
Jesus!
A saint! We have burnt a saint!
Twenty-five years later, when Charles reoccupied Rouen, Joan's trial was reviewed and the sentence annulled, ending in her rehabilitation on the 7th of July, 1456.
In 1895, Joan was declared a venerable. In 1909, she was beatified, and in 1920, Benedict XV declared her a saint.
It's noted in the Dictionary of Saints that Joan was canonized as a holy maiden and not as a martyr, as is often supposed.
Whether Joan was a martyr or not, we may not presume to decide. That she was an extraordinary person is universally recognized, and in recent times her story has come back into the limelight because of the human and religious dilemmas which her life encompassed.
You were listening there to a programme which is part of a series by the title Witness, written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.